The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bibles to where we stopped. We're continuing our study of the book of Galatians. This is our school of Bible exegesis. The book of Galatians. Now, you remember, let me just review what we said for just about 1 minute. We said that's introducing this book last time, that the issue again, just like we found in the book of Romans, then we'll study the book of Romans. The issue again here is that Paul is still going ahead to explain the issue about Christianity versus Judaism, alright? And that Christianity is actually not a refined form of Judaism. And that's what a lot of people need to understand. That Christianity is not a refined form of Judaism. In Judaism, you see a lot of types of what Christianity is supposed to be. When I say types, now I mean like you will see maybe the garment of the priests. Now, the preachers and ministers these days don't wear garments. Yes, I know in some churches they wear garments. You know what I mean? But that the garment is not Christianity, just the tradition of the churches. Even Pentecostals now wear, you know, the bishop caps and all of that. If you know where some of those things start from, you won't want to believe it. All right? A lot of those practices are purely adaptations of idolatry into Christianity. And that's a matter of fact. This is not a... If I say that, you supply a lot of people. Easter is coming. When is Easter? Next week or this weekend? Easter is very funny. But you see, we're not quarreling about it though. I'm not one of those that quarrel about religion and all of that. The fact is that Easter was a pagan religion, which when Christianity wanted to take ground, they just converted everything. These 3 days, Friday, Sunday, and Monday, all those things were pagan religions, which they say, okay, let's convert them. And let's now say it is the resurrection of Christ. I'm serious, the same thing continued. That people can still be marking their holidays. So that's why you have to be very careful. Maybe making something look like it's the will of God. I'm not quarreling, if you like, celebrate Easter. But just know where it started from. It's not Christianity at all, in any form. It's just some of those things, people will tell you that maybe they had a good intention. I don't want to start preaching message now. Let's start the group for Galatians, all right? But I want to say that be very careful about good intentions, all right? You know, like I always say, God has a plan for your life. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not just about good intentions. Say, I'm supposed to be a preacher. Let me first go. I won't preach for the next 5 years. Let me go and make money, and then I'll start preaching. So I'll have money to preach the gospel. It might sound good, but the fact is that God has a plan for your life, and that plan may say, start preaching now. Do you understand my point? All right, so let's leave that. I'm just going to bring out something that Christianity is not about, that's what Paul was trying to explain. It's not a refined form of Judaism, alright? So I was saying that you may see types, that there are things under the Old Covenant, like a priest's priestly garment, which has, reflections in what today our life is supposed to be. Do you understand? The Passover lamb, there's something that it means in today's Christianity. The different feasts, all right, the Feast of Tabernacles, the time of harvest, all those kind of things, they have something to say, all right? There are types of things that our life reflect today and what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ reflect. But the practice of Christianity and Judaism, they are quite different. And that's what Paul was trying to introduce to the people in the book of Galatians. Because he had preached to them, the people had believed, and they started practicing Christianity. So people now went and told them that, listen, you cannot really fully please God except you do the things of Judaism, that is, obeying the laws of Moses. All right, so that's what Paul was trying to address. And we began to see that last time. We studied from chapter 1, verse 1, and we ended in verse 10. I want to try and avoid repeating the message I preached last time, so I don't want to say many things. But just notice that for Paul, this was a very important thing. The only time you hear him say some of the very powerful words he used in this particular place, when he talked about letting him be accursed, that this cursed be the person who preaches the gospel different from that which I deliver to you. That even if I'm the one that changes my mind about it, then let God punish me. That's what he was saying. Now let's just continue from verse 11. He said, for I will have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Now, I probably will jump a few verses to explain something. Now, let me just, before I read further here, let me give us a summary of what Paul is trying to say. Before now, we studied what he was explaining about the fact that we should not distort this gospel. All right. Now, what he now began to say in verse 11 is to show where his gospel came from, and he was trying to prove the authenticity of his gospel. Do you understand the point there? Now, this is what I'm going to explain. I don't think I cooked this thing up. Now, what he was saying is that. Let me read some things and then I will explain it. All right? I may jump down along the line just to help us save time. In verse 11, he said, "My gospel is not according to man, that nobody taught me these things. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it by any man," he was saying, "but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, he said, verse 13, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus." Now, he was talking, like I said, about his gospel, where it came from, you know. You will see, you know, if you've read the story of Islam, they'll tell you how Muhammad received his revelation and all of that. Paul was explaining here how his revelation was received. Let me just say something to you. If you read the whole of the New Testament, everybody that put something down there was taught the thing directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one. Do you understand? Let me explain. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are the accounts of the life of Jesus. Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it's just a continuation of, you know, immediately after the life of Jesus, what happened in the church. That's more like a storybook. But if you go down from Romans down to Revelations, you see that everybody who wrote something that was documented as the early apostles' account of the Holy Scriptures, you will see that they were people who heard direct now. When I say directly now, I mean the Lord Jesus talked to them directly. The reason is because the origin of your gospel, do you follow my point, is very important when it comes to the authenticity of that gospel. That's what Paul was trying to explain to them. Because if it was something that somebody taught him, he could explain that maybe he misunderstood. Do you understand what I'm saying? You go and read Peter, James, John, all of them. They were people who Jesus, I mean, for years they were with him. Then the book of Revelation was when Jesus appeared after his resurrection to John. Are you getting my point? Now this is Paul. Where did Paul get his own from? This is the point I'm making. We need to explain, understand this. Paul said, "I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, our personal experiences tend to color the way we see things, reinterpret words. When he said the word revelation of Jesus Christ, the understanding that immediately comes to our mind is that maybe you are studying and then suddenly you have an understanding. So you think the man understood Jesus. That's not what he meant. What he meant was that Jesus revealed himself to me and taught me the gospel. That's what Paul was explaining. That this, you know what he was trying to explain? That listen, Peter's gospel is not superior to mine. He heard it from the Lord Jesus. I also got mine from the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I told you last time, you see that he said that when he was given an account of the Last Supper, he described things that he did not physically witness. And it was accurate. Why? Because the Lord Jesus who was there told him this was what happened. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So what Paul was trying to do here was to prove that his gospel was authentic. This was what happened. I'll tell you simply. After his conversion, of course, you know the first time during his conversion, how the Lord appeared to him miraculously. And that's how he was converted, which is what he was narrating here. Yeah, you heard of how my life used to be. Now, after his conversion, the Lord appeared to him again. The only account we have of that, of course, is this book of Galatians, and taught him the gospel. I hope you are getting my point. And you see, it's so important. You see, I was reading somewhere, and somebody was explaining that Paul, if you read further down, you will see he talked about how he moved, how he did not go and meet the apostles that were apostles before him. Why he said that is because God told him simply, Jesus told him simply, "Now you are my apostle." I don't know whether you get my point. That is, God, Jesus was sending him like he sent Peter and co. So he said, "I did not immediately go and meet those who were apostles before me." Do you follow the point I'm making? All right. Now, why didn't he do that? The reason is because, somebody was explaining this, that Paul presented the gospel to the Gentiles without mixing it with Judaism. He was able to do that. Look, there was no mixture. His gospel to the Gentiles was pure, not mixed with Judaism. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, so how did he get that gospel? That was exactly what happened. Jesus revealed himself to him physically. And the way I like to explain that is, I've read this man a lot. You, of course, you will have known that. I thought the fact that I've told you, you heard me quote him a lot, Kenneth Hagin. It will describe the experiences. Go and read this book. It will help you. I Believe in Visions. You know, I like to recommend books that have blessed me in previous times. All right? There's this book, I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin. Read it. You see, because he was a modern-day prophet, you see the accounts of his life when the Lord appeared to him physically and told him things. And that was something like that that happened to Paul here. The Lord Jesus appeared to him physically and they sat down and they discussed what that gospel was supposed to be like. All right? Something similar to what you see in the book of Revelations. All right? That was what Paul was referring to here. When he said that, I neither received my gospel, verse 12, from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of the word there, revelation. Now, so again, I'm just describing, he was talking about that authenticity of his gospel. So, I don't want to spend all the time reading, but you see down to verse 6, 17, it's another day I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia. It was after 3 years in verse 18. In verse 18 now. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to be acquainted with Cephas or Peter. I stayed with him 15 days. But then I did not see all the other apostles apart from James, he said in verse 19. And all the people never really knew me in the churches. They just knew the head of what God did in me. And the Bible says in verse 24, they were glorifying God because of me. Now, if you continue reading again, I don't want to bore us with all these details, okay? Let's just get to the main meat that we're getting to in the book of Galatians. Or let's pick out one or two things before we go down to that chapter 2. In that chapter 1, he said there was a time, he said God called him, where was that, verse 15. God called me from my mother's womb, who set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace. There was a time he was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Now, let me just say that briefly. Let's just highlight some important truths for our everyday life. What Paul was explaining there is that, of course, same thing we have been saying, everybody has a purpose in life. I don't know how many of you listened to my radio broadcast yesterday, but there was something I said there. That was a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 31, talking about fear. Now, when Moses was explaining that Joshua should not be afraid, you know what he told him? Be courageous, all right? The reason is because God has called you. Let me summarize it. This is the reason why you were born, to help these people inherit the promised land. Do you understand that point? And that's what Paul was saying here again. Everybody was born for a particular purpose. Do you follow the point? In fact, by the time I finished preaching, somebody sent me a text message concerning what I said, all right? He was blessed by it. Now, the point I was making there is that, listen, there's a reason why you were born. Look, that thing is, if you look at life from that perspective, I mean, you will handle things differently. You won't just do things because it's convenient or because it helps you. You check, look, is this the reason why I'm existing? If it is not, then you are very careful. Somebody may want to pay you ₦1,000,000 a day. You ask yourself, is this the reason why I'm existing? You are getting the point that I'm making. And sometimes, yesterday I gave 4 cures for fear. Those of you who heard it, right? 4 cures for fear. 4 of them. And believe me, they were 4 inspired cures for fear. Believe me, I didn't know there were 4 until I started preaching the message. Along the line, I discovered that there were 4. When I said that, I wrote 2 down. By the time I finished, there were 4. Do you understand what I'm saying? To tell you that it's inspired. Now, one of them is that idea of this sense of purpose. And I said that God becomes the enemy of a man who is fearful. God said, move, you don't move. Then he said, okay, let me punish you for not moving. He does that. He told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of them. But peradventure you are afraid, I will disgrace you before them. That's what he told Jeremiah. Is that all right? Now, so I'm just trying to emphasize that I'd like to highlight a few things here to help us in our lives. Paul said that this is the reason why I was born. Let me just say this again to us. Many of us may not have imbibed it enough. Let me say it. The fact that God has a plan for somebody's life does not mean the person will automatically fulfill it. Do you understand my point? The fact that Paul said here that a time came that it pleased God to reveal his son in me. All right, and he now sent me to go and preach that gospel as an apostle. That's in accordance with his will. But there are many people who God has that kind of plan for, and they don't fulfill it. Most people come to this life. Let me say this: God has a good plan, but then there's this auxiliary plan where God they use once in a while. I don't know what you understand what I mean. What about auxiliary plan? If a man is God created him to be a good and righteous man who will bless people. If he decides to be a wicked man, God will find another use for him. That's what I call auxiliary plan. I don't mean that God has different choices for you to make. Do you understand my point? A lot of people just live through life in that auxiliary plan of God. That is, well, since this guy is so useless, let's find another use for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, like I preached to you before, there's what is called Esau saving Jacob. There are those who obey God, so God anoint them with the oil of Esau. You shall save Jacob. That is, you suddenly become a slave to those who are obeying God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Alright, I just wanted to emphasize that. Let's go on then. Back to our study, chapter 2 now. Now, like I said, I don't want to read everything in details because we can easily understand the point. So let me just highlight the things that are important. In chapter 2, Paul now again went ahead to explain how his movement had been concerning this preaching of the gospel. Now, what he was saying here, let me just explain it briefly. Because there's something about people, they like to use, how do I use the word, authority. I'm your senior. I don't know whether I understand my point. Therefore, I should be more correct than you. That's what the man was fighting. If you read that chapter 2, because you see, let me just quickly emphasize something. He said that in that chapter 2, he went again. Let me just read something in verse 2. He said, it was because of a revelation that I went up. That is, after 14 years, I came up to Jerusalem. And I did this because God instructed me in a vision. That's what he was saying. All right, I now went to go and discuss what I've been preaching with those who were the apostles before me. And I went with Titus, he was saying. He said the result of everything was that Paul, let me just quickly read verse 7. But he said, the apostles there, let me read from verse 6. He said, but from those who were of high reputation, now notice this, what they are makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. He said, well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. Alright? But on the contrary, since that I have been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James, Peter, and John, or Cephas like he called Peter here, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we may go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor. Now, please, know what Paul is trying to explain here? Just what I said. The fact that his gospel is not inferior to that of Peter and co. Now, this is the thing. Now, you know, this is part of, for example, Catholic doctrine, that Peter was the first apostle. Do you understand? You get my point. The foremost of the apostles. Now, what Paul was explaining here is that, so what's my business? I didn't get my gospel from him. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Yes, the foremost of apostles. Because he named three people who everybody recognized as the foremost apostles in Jerusalem. Peter, James, and John. He said, yet they didn't teach me anything. I don't know whether you are getting the point. Now, I was saying something earlier. Let me just conflate it. There are sometimes people in life, they want to use this seniority thing to harass younger people. And that's what Paul was fighting here. Say, hey, wait. I did not get my gospel from them. Therefore, they are not my, in quotes, lords and masters. Do you follow my point? Because you see, what was happening in that church was that people were referencing people like James, Peter, and John as a matter of fact that you go together following is not right. These are the real barbers in this thing. I'm going to bring out a few points for our personal lives here. But Paul now was not fighting that issue that, no. Look, listen. I've encountered these people. And even they know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't want to bore us with all the details. Just for us to get the hang of what's going on in the book of Galatians. The first few chapters, Paul was trying to stamp the authority of his apostleship. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, please, there's something, a few things I want us to bear in mind here, which will help our personal lives. He said, everybody recognized Peter, and Paul also did, and that there was a grace that was working in the life of Peter, verse 7, that seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, that is those who are not Jews, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. He said, he who worked effectually in Peter's life, in his apostleship, is also working effectually in me, in my own apostleship towards the Gentiles. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. You know, nobody can save everybody. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. That's one thing you have to recognize. You know, I always say it if you're a businessman. It's not every customer that's your own. Do you follow what I'm saying? And don't be angry. No, in fact, I always say to you, don't be angry with anybody. Just locate who's yours and who's not yours. And there are people you are supposed to patronize. There are those you are not supposed to patronize. Let me explain. Enugu taxes have come now. Do you understand my point? If you're a student, they are still giving you allowance. Oh boy, take boss. Oh. Let me just warn you ahead of time. Take the tax once or twice so that it will be like you too. You entered it. After that, forget it. They didn't bring them for you. At 300 naira per drop, are you out of your mind? Do you follow what I'm saying? Enter the boss. There's no quarrel. Do you follow the point? They didn't send them because of you. They didn't send them. Look, if you have to be bleeding your father and your mother every time you want to go back to school, please be decent and not be taking tax everywhere you are going. There was one foolish brother those days ahead of. He will come to you. Bishop, I beg. If he lend me 600 naira there, he doesn't have it, I'll pay you back next week. You will give him 600 naira. Those days, you will give him 600 card, go stop Mulwe, enter. As you enter your Mulwe, the guy is suffering one tax. The brother who used to lend him money was the one telling me, in my mind, why are you lending him? Why is he giving him? Of course, he won't pay that money back. Why are you living beyond your means? The man when they borrow you money, in fact, another of my friends told me about somebody who will, you know, show him his new phone. Ah, have you seen my new phone? This is the new model BlackBerry. Ah, now wow. You know how much this one is going for? He will show you the phone at the end of the day. So the guy will call him for nice. Say, oh boy, if he scratch me, more recharge card there. I'm telling you the truth. I know the two people involved. He will come to the guy who is begging for a recharge card and be showing off his latest iPhone. Now, this is a new one. This is a 3G iPhone. Show you the phone. 100,000. After some time, you go call the guy for night. Hey, bros, how far now? Drop one recharge card for your guy. And my friend will phone me that. Which kind of human being is this? He just showed off his new iPhone to me. I am using an old Motorola and he's begging me for a recharge card. Of course, we need crazy people like that on air to make us laugh. After all, now we are laughing. You know, all of you were frowning before. I've told you the story now. You're all laughing. We need people out of their minds like that once in a while to make the rest of us happy. No, I'm just bringing out, there's something I'm trying to bring out from there. Because, and then take church as an example, ministry. You don't become everything to everybody. A friend of mine called me the other day that this is a lot. People come to invite him to preach. Well, when he asked the question, I didn't know exactly what he was asking, but I thought that if he was saying that, look, well, this was the questions I read into the discussion. That is it that, should I stop agreeing to go? Or is it that God is calling me towards preaching? Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But an answer just dropped in my mind as we were discussing. I said, look, listen, there's no problem with you going to preach. Just don't let them force you concerning what you will preach. What I mean is this. This is what I mean. As I said, you were talking before. That's why they called you to come and preach. Were you preaching and dissecting scripture? The principles of resurrection according to the gospel of Paul. You are not doing that. You are giving simple advice on personal management, life management, helping young people develop, helping people focus. As any time they call you to preach, just continue doing that. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. If they still continue calling you, fine. Then it's good. You and the Lord, you are together. But when they now put pressure on you that this we want you to come and be the key speaker, but you notice our convention is not on finances, so because it seems to major in that area, that it has to do with brotherly discipline and development of intellectual spiritual character, whatever it means. I don't know the meaning, all right? But just imagine. Just tell them simply, I don't know what you have said. If I go there, what I'm going to say is what you have heard me say. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. One day, brother, I mean, big fan of my writing and all of that, he approached me. They do a lot of evangelical work. He said, whether I could write a tract for them on evangelism. A tract, you know, you've seen our tract. I told him, oh boy, we have 18 tracts out there. Pick anyone where you like. I don't write tracts to order. Pastor, please write a tract on love. These people are quarreling. Pastor, please write a tract on husband and wife relationship. I have a friend who, I said, I'm not a custom tract writer. No, really. I said, look, what I have written, take it and use it. If it won't fit your purpose, I'm not the one that's supposed to meet the need. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you are a pastor also, and you discover that these are the kind of people that come to your church, don't be angry. That is the kind of people you have a grace towards. Do you follow the point I'm making? I mean, if you know Pastor Chris Okotie, if you know go school, you know if you go in church. If you know go to school, you know if you go in church. And don't be angry with him. Just don't go there. Why should you be angry? Just don't go there. Look,
Is it Deeper Life? Eh? It's a good church. I like their existence. If you can't buy jewelry, just join them. When you prosper, go to another church. When you, don't ask you why you're not wearing earring. Just go there. There is the Lord, oh, single. You don't have jewelry. As soon as you prosper small, crossover. House on the Rock. Christ Embassy. You can wear your earring in W. Everybody has a purpose. You go to church like my church where they wear suit plenty, you don't get suit. No wahala. Just take leave. Go Deeper Life. You all wear your short sleeve shirt and trouser for 3 years. When the Lord has prospered you, buy plenty suit, you come back. In this life, eh, there's a trick for getting that. What I mean? You don't need to quarrel with anybody. And I hope you get what I'm trying to explain. Look, there's no need. Pastor Chris Okotie, if you don't go to school well, you can't go to the church. I've been there before, a few times. Even when he's not speaking those detailed English, the normal one he speaks himself can give somebody a headache. He made up his mind, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not commenting on that, but he made up his mind to make life hard for people who want to hear him. And if you don't like it, on his street, do you know how many churches are there? Christ Embassy is in front. Somebody hear me somewhere here. If you go to this side, you will see churches everywhere. Just walk out, come over there, go to the one where you match your brain level. No. Now, so life, there's no quarrel in it. There's no quarrel in it. No, I wish people would understand. For one day, one brother told me that he doesn't listen to Pastor Paul Adefarasin. I said, why? He said, because when they listen to him, that the man was just talking about how he was thinking about the goodness of God. And the other day, he was just praising God. Why? Because he was in his car and he was steering the new 8-cylinder Range Rover that he was driving, and air conditioners were blasting cool air, and there was a Ron Connolly was singing this thing. He quenched the message. He said, you have not suffered in life. That's why you are talking like this. Now, what is it? New Range Rover is blasting music and air conditioner, and he was showing you the goodness of the Lord. He was so angry, he quenched his thing. You see, poverty and bro, look, the two of them. Look, listen, there are those who their life, Range Rover is the normal thing, and they too have to praise God. So they will buy Adeoluwa Adefarasi, Paul Adeoluwa Adefarasi message. Alright? You just go somewhere else. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Listen, no, God is very interesting. Variety everywhere. Variety. I mean, you can't have your church in Victoria Island there. Or, in Lagos Island, where they are selling houses all around you for 500 million naira for one house. Plot of land. People are buying plot of land for $20 million. And your church is in the center. And you think that people go to the church there. They bring a new good tax, they come to church. Of course, normally, car park, you will see brand new Range Rovers, brand new Lamborghinis, brand new, Rolls Royce. It will be there. If you don't like it, please, don't be angry. Just go somewhere. I don't know why people... Look, I have never been... Me, I don't know how to worry myself. One day, oh my God, I went to... That was in Lagos, House on the Rock. It rained. I didn't have a car. It rained, beat me bad. In fact, I never seen rain like that since that day. Or before that time. Of course, rain has been falling, but that one, the way it caught me. I entered bus in Ojo Legba, nothing spoiled. As soon as that boat climbed the bridge, I just saw above the Atlantic Ocean. As if, that one in Genesis. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Good. I saw it up front. I said, oh, Bari. That was when I realized that Lagos man not get anybody time. As soon as we began to descend into Lagos and like this, oh God, the rain was pouring out with vexation. The bus driver reached Marina bus stop. He said, everybody come down. I look at him. What? He said, we should come up. He wants to, where are you going next? He mentioned TBS. I said, very good. That's near where I'm going. When I reached TBS, I had to finally come down. Hide somewhere there. Oh, God. I still remember the shirt. The monkey coat I had on, my waistcoat and my trousers. I still remember very well. By the time that rain finished with me that day, the church I was going was in front of me like this. You know why I didn't enter? The air conditioner inside will freeze me on top of that. That was my reason why I went back home. I remember very well. I stood. This was where I was going. But I said, if I enter this place, why I wore that small coat? It was called cold. I don't know. I don't know if we stand up that kind of cold. Muzon Center is, the AC is serious. Normal day, I almost tremble. Then now I'm wet.
And I look at my, I took the next bus and went back home.
You know, the, listen, now so life be. There are those who now, you know, corrugated iron sheet is on top of the roof. They must finish service before 10 o'clock, before the sun comes out, because of the heat. Now, oh God, I wish you would get my point. I wish you get my point. Listen, life is so different that, and different people minister to different people. And let me just tell you the truth. What you should find out is the people you are supposed to minister to. I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. Even in business that you are doing, you know, let me say this will make you laugh. You know that supermarket downstairs? Favorite, downstairs. It's the most disorganized setup in Enugu State. Yes, it is. You just need to look. And you know one of the reasons? Omba was discussing the other time. He said, must you sell everything? What are you doing selling pure water? Now, must you sell everything? Look, if that place was my wife's business, those bags of rice must not be found there. If you want bag of rice, go to market. Those who come there, is not bag of... Look, they expect to buy, you know, bread, milk, you know, everyday provisions. That's why cars keep... They didn't come here to buy rice. Of course, you say, but they are buying. Yes, they will buy. Because you keep on hanging it there. But if you locate the... Look, you have... I don't want to say some more things because privileged information, but that place is extremely poorly run. If you want to steal pure water, you know, nobody will catch you that place. It's thoroughly disorganized. Why? Because one of the problems of life, people don't know how to identify their own market. No, really. You know, these are the kind of counsel I give to my wife when we're discussing. You know, I advise her on small business and all of that. I said, listen, it's not everything you can sell. No, as a matter of fact. Sometimes you just have to make up your mind. No. I'm not doing this. Is not in line with my vision. It's not in line with the plan that I have for life. It's not in line with the things that God has called me to do. Even the ministry that I do. Ask the Semeka, counseling. I said, counsel you? I'm not counseling nobody. The only people I counsel, I must know you well. It must be obvious that you have been listening to me for a long time. That we know each other face to face. Then you now ask me a question. I know your question is genuine. I don't know what I get my point. Because you have distilled every other thing I have said through this question. And this one is still remaining. It's called, if any man lack wisdom. A lot of people are looking for psychiatrists. It's not really you they are looking for. No, a lot of people on the road. You know what they are looking for? Psychiatrists. People who will listen to them talk. In psychology, they call it catharsis. That is, just talk. You know, it's happened. Let me just talk. Talk. They are looking for people who will listen to them talk. Pastor Banky doesn't have time for people who just want to talk. There are those who should listen to people talk. You see, that's what I'm telling you. I'm not saying it's bad. I like Americans for that. There are people who feed fat and listen to other people talk. In fact, in Nigeria, I think we should start... These pastors should start being paid a heavy salary comparable to what American psychiatrists earn. Because in Europe and America, no pastor has this amount of time. In fact, forget the pastors. The people who don't go to church is the psychiatrists they see. You go and sit down in one slightly darkened room on a reclining couch. The psychiatrist is not doing anything for you. He's just giving you the opportunity to talk. For information, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a teacher. That's why people say that counseling. I say, I don't do counseling. You tell me your whole life story first. I say, wait. By the time I finish hearing your whole life story, you see, but nobody will ask you. Listen, I'm not listening to anybody's life story. And as God is my witness, so many times in life, people have come to me and said they want to ask questions because I don't know them too well. Maybe, as I seen there recently, I asked a simple question like, have you read this book? They said no. I said, go and buy a copy. Good enough, the books are not expensive. It's 200 naira, 250, 280. Have you listened to this particular message? No. Go and buy it. I said, look, go and buy it. Have you listened to this series? They said, no. Go and listen to this message. And almost all the time, the people will come and say, in fact, there are those. There is one particular guy. He said to me, he wanted to talk to me. I said, I'm not talking to you. He said, why? I said, I've not seen you in a long time. That is, you are not listening to me. What are we discussing? So the day I finally agreed to talk to him, he said, because he used to be my student. He said, okay. I said, come, listen to what I have to say first. Do you know he said it himself? By the time I was through preaching for 1 hour, 20 minutes, half of the questions he came with were gone. Do you understand my point?
No, that is how life is. You just have to, even in business, it's all the target marketing. You know the people you are looking out for. It's not everybody you are chasing. You want to borrow 1 million naira, don't go to GTB. Go to Oceanic Bank. Guarantee Trust. You want to borrow 500 million? Good. Go to Guarantee Trust. But if you want to borrow 500,000 naira, 1.5 million naira, Guarantee Trust doesn't understand what they should talk to you. No, listen. Before I used to be angry with them, that why would they like this? But from that, why are you angry with them? Go down the road. Oceanic Bank just ran the corner. They will lend you 25 naira if that's what you want. GDP has changed a bit, but they only change towards those who have salaries. You understand? They can lend salary and earn small money. But if it's business people, bank your money. They are very nice. They are friendly. There is the only bank where you walk in and walk out. They don't care whether your mobile phone is on or ringing. They don't really give a damn. You're a businessman. You want to borrow 5 million, they won't talk to you. 20 million, I doubt. But you want 100 million, sit down. Let's talk. 500 million, good. You're the kind of guy we're looking for. All those, they are smiley face. They know they give person small money. Don't be angry. Just open one account with them. One with First Bank and one in the Oceanic Bank. If you want big money, you go to GTB. If you want small money, just walk across the ocean. Why do you think the Oceanic Bank is always winning prize? Small and medium scale enterprises supporting bank every year. Have you ever seen anybody give GTB that one? Never. Please, do you follow the point I'm making? That's it. It's a gospel to the circumcised and gospel to the uncircumcised. That's a matter of fact. And that's just the way life is. All right? I just wanted to explain that point. My Bible has closed. So, like I said, what I try to do is that after getting the whole context, then we should speak one or two lessons of life that will help us in the things that we are doing. All right. Again, if you read from verse 11, what Paul was saying here, again, is trying to prove the fact that even though Peter was highly respected, he did not exactly consider him such a superior that his doctrines have to be validated by Peter. And that if they disagreed, it meant that he was wrong and Peter was right. Paul said, no, it's not like that. It's just by the way. It's very interesting. You know, Christians, we are plenty. But you know, we are interesting people, Christians. I don't know, you know, they will tell you that the Catholic Church was the first church. You've heard that thing before. But obviously, Peter and Paul didn't go to the same church. I think it's obvious. No, look, I don't know which one is first second, but they obviously did not go to the same church. Do you get what I'm saying? No, you look up. Peter and Paul did not go to the same church. Peter made it clear. Paul made it clear. Okay, Peter, as for your church in Jerusalem, if you guys say anything wrong, I will disagree with you. He said, I've been organizing my own church for 14 years before I went to go and meet the elders on the other church. He said, no, he met Peter some time ago at the beginning, but my gospel I didn't receive from any one of them. I received it straight from the Lord and my, you know what I mean by church now? They didn't do church the way we are doing it now, you know. Churches these days are so organizationally based. So that some of that when somebody, several people have heard me, when they see the work that Kingdom World is doing, say, why don't you organize into a church? I say, why should I bother? What matters is that I teach. And the words are going out. Ah, I said, no. You don't know. People are not loyal. They are not loyal. Wait, did I tell you to sign a loyalty card when you went through here? No. As long as you have ears, their loyalty is not my problem. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, their loyalty is not my problem. Most of the people I minister to have never seen. How many of us gather here every Saturday? We are not many. But there are literally thousands and thousands that tune in regularly twice a week, all right, for our radio broadcast. And beginning from today, there will be multitudes also that tune in every Tuesday by 10 p.m. It's beginning from today. And most of them, I will never see. In fact, this is just by the way. I know there are people who, they have gone to go and sit in front of TV waiting for 10 p.m. They just want to see whether this guy is white or black. I went to about on Friday for a program. I came back on Saturday. So many, look, at least I remember three people who walked up to me like, you are the Pastor Banky. Like, boy, bring that hand. May I shake and verse? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. All right, so that's just my work. Do you understand my point? I actually don't even want to. We have baby dedication today. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Two babies have been born into the house. I don't really think I'm interested in doing that. All right? Okay. Now, so this is just by the way. So the way they did church that time was much different from what we do now. The aim then was just to develop the knowledge of Christ amongst people. All right? Not really to build loyalty towards a particular denomination. Paul never started any denomination, but for goodness sake, I don't think you can be as influential on this life, in this life, after Jesus Christ and Abraham, as Paul has been influential. No, nobody. I don't think there's any human being on earth that people read his words as much as they read the words of Paul. I don't know any. Every day, Paul is being quoted. Multitudes will gather, and the first thing they will read is from a letter of Paul that he wrote to one church like 2,000 years ago. I mean, how much influence do you want to have in life? You understand what I'm trying to explain? All right, it's just the focus that people had then. Now, so let's just go and look at that, the point he was making there. So the point he was proving here is that issue of his relationship when it comes to hierarchy between him and Peter. He said, when Cephas or Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Look, all Paul was doing here was to prove to these people that nobody can give Peter as a reference and thereby overturn the gospel that I have preached to you. And the reason he explained, I don't want to read all the things in details, but human beings are human beings. What happened there was that Peter, of course, he understood the gospel, but I told you, like I said last time, about the history, the effects that his history had in his life, all right? Which I believe that God specifically engineered Paul in such a manner that he could overcome that. Peter, when it came to where Gentiles were gathered, by the way, there's nothing like Gentiles or Jews amongst Christians. I hope you understand that. You're either a Jew or a Gentile or a church of God. We read that from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. It said, give no offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or the church of God. I hear the word Jewish Christian. It doesn't have any meaning. If you are a Christian, you're not a Jew. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can understand you're just trying to talk about the person's national origin. All right, I can understand that. But in reality, you know, it doesn't have any meaning. You're a Jew. That's your problem. Do you understand? And once you believe in Christ, your Judaism has been forgotten. It doesn't add anything to you. I won't respect you more. If I say, oh, these are the brothers of Jesus Christ, and I forget that, all right? You have believed, you are the same. No, we need to understand that point, all right? Now, so, when the Gentile church would gather, all right, Peter came there and they were mingling naturally like nothing was happening. And then some people arrived from Jerusalem and Peter began to wonder what they will see at home when they see me displaying with these Gentiles. And sometimes we say it is wisdom. The man doesn't want to quarrel. But I think when we're trying to use our wisdom, do you follow? I am very careful that I don't use... You have to be very careful that you don't overturn truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say this to you, to surprise some of us. Let me just say something. Those of you have heard me for, no, it don't surprise many of us, but just a few, if you are new. You know that, you know I don't believe in tithe. You know, most of you know, alright? I'm not saying it is wrong to give to the work of God. Some people think that's what I'm saying. Am I mad? How can I say that? I just said that God did not give a commandment that you must part with 10% of your income to a church organization or a work of the ministry as obedience to God. I said no, that's legalism. What God said is I've given you seed for the sower and bread for food and the spiritual responsibility, all right, that you should learn how to apportion it. One man's responsibility is not another man's responsibility. And these are the ways I explain it. Let us assume you work in a particular company. They pay you 200,000 naira every month. And that's all. You rent your own house. Do you understand? You buy your own car. You recharge your own phone. And all of that. That's your. Then you have another friend who they pay him just 150,000 naira a month. You know, compared to you, it's just in quotes. But they give him a free house, free car. You understand my point? And every month they credit his phone with 30,000 naira at the beginning of the month. On top of that, every time he's traveling, allowance, all kinds of things. At the end of the day. Listen, let's be frank. Let's stop fooling ourselves. Who has more disposable income? Yes, the guy who has the second guy, though, is earning, you know, if you wanted to calculate, they'll now say that, all right, how do you calculate? You can't. You actually can't. Under the law of Moses, things were very different. And listen, that's not even the issue. The issue that God didn't command anybody. So I'm not, I don't even like talking about it. Okay? So what are they supposed to do? For goodness sake, each person has a responsibility. That's the point. You have to learn. You know, the other day, a friend was telling me about one brother who was talking to another person and said that, God has been so good to me. I just bought a new Jeep. I just bought this. I just finished my house. And he was talking to somebody whose children couldn't go to school because they didn't have money to pay fees. Is he a madman? Do you follow the point I'm making? I don't care whether you tithe or you don't tithe. You're out of your mind. Do you follow what I'm saying? Somebody was telling me about it. It's not the right way to be. Look, to whom much is given? Much is expected. That's just the thing. I don't look, all this one of I have paid my tithe. Now forget that. You're a big businessman. Every month you hit a deal, you pocket 5 million naira. Do you understand? Me and you are age mates. For all I do, everything I don't put 50,000 naira together, I go to the same church. Listen. In fact, by the time I've given a small amount, all the wahala of that church, our community, you should know that it's on your head. Peradventure, you are my brother. Eh? All our responsibility, now only you go carry them. I will drop my own 2,000 naira. Say, bros, put 500,000 on top of that. We have finished the work. We'll go and meet our father. Daddy, that your house, we have finished it. That is, I put 5,000, you put 2.5 million. We have finished it. You ain't smarter than me. I'm just pursuing a different career in life. I have a different responsibility. Listen, for example, if you're a preacher, these days preachers, people say preachers should be rich. Well, it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I don't want to be poor. You know that. I plan to buy a car that's very high, that I need ladder to enter inside. I know, I like that kind of thing. But please, really, if you read the scriptures, you know there's serious division of labor. Huh? Yeah, really, really. If a man is going out and is a missionary, and somebody dies at home, stop telling him to send his own contribution for the burial. What's wrong with you? Tell him your contribution is 50,000 for the funeral, but we have paid it. That's how they do such things. You get my point. Anyway, I'm not discussing that in details, but that's even by the way. I have my doctrinal reason for what I'm saying. I think people should just be careful, all right? And people say that, what should I give to God? 10% of my income. I said, no. What should I give? I said, I like everything needs training. And if you don't discipline yourself, you end up doing nothing. Do you understand my point? Don't just be free. You know, you have to discipline yourself. You can start with, okay, make sure that, this is what I recommend to everybody, make sure 11 to 15% start with it. But then, even God doesn't prosper you exceedingly, make sure that 30% is your aim. And this is how I say it. 10% for the work of the ministry, supporting the work of the ministry and giving to the minister of the work. 10%, that's 10. 10 for charity work. Another 10 for careless use. Now, what do you mean by careless use? I don't have time to describe it now, but that's very important. That's what you should aim for as a baseline, as a child of God. That's my opinion. 30. If you're doing below that, just know I haven't gotten there yet. I'm coming up. Do you understand my point? And once you move or keep moving, the day will come. This will happen to you so fast, you won't even know it happened to you. You calculate how much you have given as offerings, as gifts, and help, and all of that to other people, to charity, to the work of the ministry, to bless a man of God, and all of that. You put everything together, you find that 90%. You will find that 90, and look, and you're doing very well. Alright? Anyways, that's not my message. My message is this. Talking about opposing this man. Why Peter was misbehaving. One day I was in a church. One man of God was preaching. This was not here. It was in Lagos. And he said that, preach about financial prosperity. How many people here have been playing their tithe regularly? People put up their hands. A few people, as usual. Those who have not been doing regularly. And you want to repent. All of you, put up your hands. I sat down there, I was looking at everybody. All of you, rise up now, I want to pray for you. I put glue for my chest, sit down on top of him. Bros, ain't getting up. Pastor Banky, why? In the interest of peace, just get up. So that it won't be. I say, you don't understand. There are people who are looking, asking, what's Banky doing? Do you know, you see, it's not today I became Pastor Banky. It's as long ago. Remember, I've been preaching, teaching people for a long time. And some people have known my opinion, and I know my actions affect people. For that reason, I'm very careful to stick by what I know to be true. Because I know, in fact, they're always peeping at me. As when somebody is preaching powerfully in church, they look, is Banky getting excited? Now, this one several times. One day, a man came to our church to preach. And the guy teaches very well. Alright? He teaches very, very well. By the time it was true, one brother came up and said, once that guy began to teach, I began to do Banky. Wait. When I saw you, I said, Banky is flowing with this guy. Hi, you see? That's what people like me have. Now, what am I saying? What happened to Peter was that Peter didn't want to cause trouble at home. That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, he was actually misleading people. Without saying anything, he was misleading the people back at home. That, oh no, Brother Peter too does not stay with Gentiles, so he understands. And that's why Paul was very, very angry. And that's why Paul challenged him openly. Please, let me explain something here. The Bible says, don't rebuke an elder. Paul, this same Paul, wrote to Timothy, said, don't rebuke an elder sharply. He did. Now, why did he say that? Because that's the correct order. But then, he first explained that, this Peter guy, we are made to, as far as I understand it, he has his job, I have my job. He has come here to cause confusion. I have a responsibility to put him right. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. I tell you that, look, people say there was one church. Peter and Paul didn't go to the same church at all. This was the ogre of his own church. That was ogre at home. The point was that he said, look, this man is trying to cause me confusion here. And therefore, he stood up publicly. And that's what he was saying. For people to understand that, look, what are you people talking about? You, this man came from Jerusalem, supposedly from Peter or what? Peter can't order me around. And he was saying that the day the man came, he said, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Or, literally, that the man was wrong in what he was doing. And he now described exactly what happened. Alright? It looks like Lauren is threatening. Let me close on time so we can go. Now, the statement he made to Paul, to Peter, let's just read it. He said, from verse 15, we are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles, that is, supposed sinners. Nevertheless, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Then he said, But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. Now, the point he was just making here, that he was just talking about the issue, following up on what happened from his discussion with Peter. Now, still passing a comment on that from verse 18. He said, for if I build what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor, that is, in destroying it in the first place. For through the law, I die to the law, that I might live to God. Please notice verse 20. We don't have time to develop it now. It's very, very powerful. If I don't know whether it will fit into our school of Bible exegesis, it should be a whole exhortation on itself. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Now, these are points we shouldn't bother belaboring again. We studied them then when we were looking at the book of Romans, talking about justification by faith in Christ. All right. But I will see past comment on that verse 20. Let me just read that this first one of chapter 3, and then we are out of here. It says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Let me stop here, and then we'll go. Let me just pass a comment on this word, bewitching. I like that word. I like that word. I like it because Christians, a lot of us, most people, not just Christians, we don't understand that people can be bewitched. You know what it means to bewitch? To cast somebody to cast a spell upon somebody, and then you start controlling the person's actions. All right? And, you know, there was a time a man stole money in Nigeria from Sheraton and gave it to a church. This is on record, so let's not mention the name of the church. And the money was big. I forgot, who can remember the amount? Was this 6 or about 20-something million naira. And the gist that time was that the man hardly ate any part of the money. Most of it was given to his church. The man, he didn't buy clothes, houses, and stuff like that. He just stole the money and took it to church. Somebody said, what happened to him? I said, yeah, you guys don't understand. He was bewitched. He said, what? And I even went ahead to say, I can give you the name of the person who bewitched him, if you want, so that your mouth can close. I will tell you. I'm serious. come and say, Pastor Banky, who is that guy? So I can avoid him. He has been to town. He's a specialist. Smooth talking. You know, the guy is rapping away smoothly. You will sell your house thinking you are obeying God. These are the things that are giving the gospel, you know, bad name. I know somebody who he doesn't like to give money to the gospel because they have so harassed him in the past. Eh? That the guy they fear now to give to the gospel. People can be bewitched. Alright? And later I'll explain how these people were bewitched. How these people were bewitched, just the power of their words. They just keep on hammering the thing. This man did this one. Before the guy knew what was happening, he thought it was the key to his breakthrough. He was walking like a machine. 29 million and I stole it and dropped the whole thing in the offering basket. He was under an influence. Is that all right?